I want to tell you about the day I didn't want to be a pastor. Sometimes you have those days, but you wish you weren't a pastor. And I want to tell you, because this is the Wednesday night of hope as we celebrate the Advent. But I want to share this with you because I think people get a lot of misconceptions about Christianity, because you've never heard any of us say that if you follow Jesus, no bad stuff is going to happen. You've never heard that. You've never heard us say that if you follow Jesus, you'll never have to worry about being sick. You'll never have to worry about your kids going astray. You'll never have to worry about your spouse going astray. You've never heard that. Because that is not the story of Christianity. The story of Christianity is that there is an ultimate end to this life. And if you follow Jesus, you don't have to worry about the end. You don't have to worry about what's eternal and forever and ever because of the cross and the resurrection. So as we look at hope, I want to tell you about the day I didn't want to be a pastor. I was sitting in my office and we get a call, and a family had taken their 7-year-old son to the emergency room, and he was real bad sick. And they called, and I talked to the mother. She said, "Pastor Jamie, if you get some time today, could you just swing by and pray with us?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that." And typically when it's a call like that, I don't just get up and get in my car and go. I make that something I do towards the end of the day. And for whatever reason, I just thought, I'm going to go ahead and go. And I get to the hospital. I get to the emergency room and said, "I'm here to see so-and-so." And the nurse pointed to this curtained off area. And I just kind of peek in. There's just a bunch of people just crying their eyes out. So I go back to the nurse station. I said, are you sure that's them?" And the nurse said, "The child just died." And I go back, and you just can't imagine what that's like if you haven't been in that situation. And it was horrible. And I was the associate pastor at the church and had wished that the senior pastor had gone. Because I don't know what I'm going to say to these people. I mean, what do you say? What do you say? And I'll never forget that family for as long as I live and what all of us went through together in that room. And honestly, it was one of the most horrific moments that I've experienced in ministry, because I got there about 5 minutes after they had pronounced him dead. And so after being in there for about 20 minutes and just everybody was holding everybody and everybody's crying, and in the middle of this, 20 minutes later, everybody starts screaming, and I turn around, and the mother had jumped up on top of her son and was trying to revive him. And I thought, that's what I would do. That's what I would do, because all you want in a moment like that is some hope. You want somebody to say that it's going to be okay, that everything's going to be all right. Even if you know you wouldn't believe it if they said it, you just want somebody to say it. And I'm thinking about, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? Because I want you to know, this mother was praying fervently. I mean, even when I came in, she said, "Lord, make him better, make him better." And I thought, if I was that kid's daddy, that's what I'd be praying. I'd probably pray that months later, "Lord, let me wake up, and this has all been a nightmare." So what does it mean? And this mother wants to know. You know, we've always hear about all these stories of healing and things that God does, and we give God one prayer, and he doesn't answer it. Where is the hope in that? And the reason I tell the story, it says, maybe you haven't been in that situation, but all of us have been in a situation where we offered up our prayer. We told God, "God, make this work out. God, help us to hang on." Or, "God, you know, make them better." Or, "God, let it be a good report." And all of us have been in that situation where what we prayed for is not what we received. And that's just a nice way to say it. Because in those moments, it's not that I feel like I wasn't received. I feel like I wasn't heard. I feel like God was busy with something else. I mean, where are you? You're supposed to be the hope of the world. Where are you in this moment? King David finds himself in a very similar situation. And he gets word that his son is going to die. And so he goes, and listen to what the Bible says. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the nights lying on the ground. Now, I want you to think about this. You know, I've got 4 kids, and we've never had any major illness. We've never had any kind of major things where life and death is what hung in the balance. We haven't been there. But as I read this, you know what I thought? That's what I'd do. If we got the call, or if we got a report from a doctor, and that's what it said, that's what I would do. I'd be on the ground. I would be pleading with God for the life of this child. And this is a situation that David finds himself in. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. Do you see the picture? I mean, do you see the desperation? David's on the ground. They're saying, David, come on, you've got to eat. And they're trying to get him up, but he doesn't want to do anything except pray to God on behalf of this child's life. This is what David does. And I want you to know, coming in tonight, I was going to use an entirely different text. And I didn't like the text that I chose. I guess one, because I guess God didn't choose it. And I was back there struggling. I went to Chris Dillingham. I said, Chris, just don't worry about what I gave you tonight. We were going to look at Jairus' daughter, another father who pleaded on behalf of the life of his child. Now, why do you think I didn't go with that text tonight? How did that story end? Jesus goes, and he tells everybody, she's not dead, she's asleep. And Jesus wakes her, and it's all good. And there are certainly those stories, and there is certainly an incredible message in those stories. But tonight, I think many of us come from an angle of wanting and needing hope in our lives in this kind of a situation. And there's David, who the Bible says, if you remember, was a man after God's own heart. I mean, you remember that? I mean, David, a man after God's own heart, and he's on the ground, and he's crying, and he's pleading for God to come and to touch this situation and to make the child better. And they try to get him up. He refuses. The Bible says on the 7th day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he's dead. And then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food and he ate. And his servants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat? And he answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. So there's the story. Maybe it's the one we most identify with because there wasn't a miraculous healing at the end of it. It's just what happened. Maybe that's where you find yourself tonight. But even in the midst of this story, and it's hard to think of things that might rank tougher than losing a child, David finds hope. He finds hope. I mean, to me, it's one of the most powerful verses of Scripture, because people always ask, what happens to children when they die? What happens to them? Because they didn't accept Jesus yet. Their sin hadn't been forgiven yet. What happens? And I tell everybody, I don't know, but there's a verse in the Bible where David is talking about his infant son, and David makes a statement, I will return to the child, but the child will not return to me. And David was saying, I will see him again. I will see him again. And there I am in the emergency room with the Goins family. And at the end of all that grief and that suffering and grief that would probably is going to last a lifetime, is somewhere in that is the hope that we'll see this child again. We'll see this child again. It was years later that I went back to that church to preach. And I saw so many people that had been so good to me and my family and so good to my children and people that had really been there for us when we went through tough times. And we saw those people and you laughed and you hugged each other. But as soon as I saw the Goins family, we couldn't even speak to each other. All we could do was cry. Because that was the last moment that we shared together. Through the death of that child. So after we were able to talk, I asked them how they were doing. You see, the 7-year-old had a twin. I said, "How's it going?" And they said, "Well, every day's really hard. But this is what we cling to. That when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus and we're going to hug Jesus and we're going to be at the feet of Jesus. And then we're going to say, 'Jesus, where's Clay? Where is he?'" And that's hope. That's hope. And that's what we cling to. So you know what? It's hope is what we're talking about. And even in the midst of that story, we can light this candle. And some of you, you're in the middle of the story right now, and you don't know how it's going to end. And when you're in the middle of a story that you don't know how it's going to end, there's a lot of people who tell you that it's all going to be okay. And I think those people are right, but maybe not the way they think they're right. Because you don't know what my future holds. And I don't know what's around the corner. And when you're in a situation like that in the hospital and you look at that child's body and you're a parent, you don't see that child. You see yours. And you wonder, how could I ever get over it? You know what parents have told me in that situation? They said, "You don't. You never get over it. You never get over it." But God does this thing in that situation. He uses it in this way that now for all of our family, heaven is sweeter because we know what is all waiting there. Because I'd love to tell you the Jairus story. I'd love to tell you that at the end of the story, the kid gets better and she's fine and everything's good. But that's not how most stories go. You see, the Jairus story we would call a miracle, wouldn't we? And the Goins story, we'd say that that's life. And that's normally how life goes. That when you get that call, normally, for the most part, when you get that diagnosis, for the most part, I know some people will take issue with this, but Steve said very profoundly Sunday morning, I don't know if you've heard him, that in a Barna research, in a Barna poll, Barna found that 1 out of every 1 person dies. Very profound, isn't it? That we're all going to die. Yeah, there are miracles where God just comes down and just does something that's unbelievable. But they're called miracles. You know why? Because that's not typically what God does. Because God's greatest desire for your life is not that you live a nice, long life. Did everybody hear that? That's not His goal, that you get to collect Social Security. And I know for some of us, closer to my age, that's really going to be a shot in the dark, right? That's not God's desire. His desire for your life is that every day you become more like Jesus. And that's the hope that we have. Because He who began a good work in you, He'll be faithful to complete it. He will complete the work that He's beginning in your life that He begun maybe years ago. He's going to complete that work. And you know, there's going to be some dark valleys in your life, but you have hope.
Because I want to tell you something about God. He's not a reactionary God, every day hurriedly responding to what happens in the world. He knows He's in control. He is in control. And that means all we can do, all that we can do, is trust Him. That's it. And so when we get the call, you're in an emergency room, whatever your situation, all you can do is trust God. You know, I've told a lot of people and tried to tell myself when I would listen. Wait a minute. If you're in a situation in which all you can do is trust God, you're in a great situation. Because too many times I find myself in a situation where I'm trying to trust me. And that has never led to a good thing. But when I get to the end of my proverbial rope, and all I can do is trust God, I have found every time that He's trustworthy. This is a tough message to preach for several reasons. One is you've got to totally be questioning my credibility to preach this, because I've got four healthy little kids. And it's easy to look up there and say, yeah, he doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know. And you know, I don't know. I can't speak to that except when I've been as a pastor in a situation like that. And I imagine as horrific as it was to me, it couldn't have come close to what those parents experienced. But I want to tell you that there is hope. Because every situation that I've been in with people in those kind of circumstances, I want to tell you, and I want you to hear this, that they all made it through it. They all made it through it. I didn't say they made it through it easily. I didn't say that they made it through it and said it was fun. I didn't say they made it through it and said, gosh, we'd like to go back and do that again. Because you know what you find in all those situations? You find that God takes those situations that are so difficult and so tough, and He brings beautiful things out of them. And I'm not saying that you would say, if I could go back, I would undo it. Because if you ask the Goins family, if you could go back and undo it, even with all the great things God brought out of it, would you undo it? You know what they would tell you? Yes, we would undo it if we could. We would undo it. But the truth is, it can't be undone. And so I'm going to take what God is going to bring out of it, and I'm going to trust Him. And so there's David. His servants are confused because while the child was alive and fighting for its life, David was a basket case. But after the child is dead, he gets up, he washes himself, he begins to eat, and they say, what's going on? But you know what? There was still grief, there was still mourning, it was still miserable, but David clung to this hope that I will see that child another day. I will see that child again. And we have a hope that is similar. Because David's hope wasn't in the presence of that child. His hope was in God. And I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, no matter how difficult it is, I want to challenge you as you pray. Because if you call me tonight and say, Pastor Jamie, the doctor says my child's sick and is not going to make it. What should we do? And you know what my first prayer always is in that situation? My first prayer is always, oh God, heal that baby. Heal that sickness. Heal that disease. And I think we should pray that way. I think we should pray that way. Yeah, because God said we can come before His throne and boldly ask for anything. We can do that. What we've seen is God doesn't always answer those prayers the way that we wanted Him to. Now, I'm going to tell you, He always answers prayer. But He doesn't always answer them the way that I want Him to. And so when I'm going through something that's difficult and something that's really tough, I try to pray this alongside of those other prayers. God, what are you showing me in this? God, what do you want me to see in this? As I go through this, God, what do you want me not to miss? And help me not to miss it. Because here's what I believe, that ultimately at the end of this life, for every one of us, there's an eternity that awaits. For every one of us. And I believe the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is the only hope that we have. He's it. He's the only hope for you. He's the only hope for me. I can't hope in anything else. Or when I do, whatever I'm hoping in, it fails me every time. But God has always been faithful. And at the end of this life, that's what it all comes down to. Is to the cross and the resurrection. That's what this life comes down to. And so, yeah, the goings will see little Clay again one day. They'll see him again. But guess what? The next time you see him, he's not going to be sick. And he's not going to have the limitations that he'd had for 7 years of his existence. He's not going to have all that. They're going to see him again. And there is hope. And some may say that he was taken away from them. And at this point, after some years of grieving, they would tell you, he's not been taken away. We're going to get to go be with him again. And they're clinging to that hope. And I think that's a hope that's from God. Because he allowed the goings to see that David, who was a man after God's own heart, went through the same thing. And David said, I'll see him again. So we have hope. And it's real. And it's certain. And it's more certain than just a situation changing. It's certain in that I have what God promised that I have. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then you have eternity in heaven with him forever and ever. I thought the children did such a phenomenal job last Wednesday. And I thought that message was so appropriate, that he's not just the reason for this season. Popular Christian Christmas slogan. He's the reason for everything. He's the reason for everything. And your life has incredible purpose and significance in the eyes of God. Your life does. Everybody look at me. Your life does. And your life does. And your life does. And your life does. I'm making my way. And your life does. And your life does. I want you to hear that. Because some of you, when these storms of life hit you, the way that a lot of us choose to respond is to say, my life must not matter to God. But that's a lie. Your life does matter. And I believe just as Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus, we don't shed our tears alone. Because God loves you. God cares for you. He cares what you're going through. And that's why he doesn't offer a temporal hope. A hope that's just for a moment. But the hope he offers is for eternity. And I can tell you, we maybe have some good debates tonight on why temporary hope is really a good thing. Because it feels good in a moment, doesn't it? You've always heard that money can't buy happiness, but I'm here to tell you it can lease it for a while, right? But God's promises are forever. And the hope that he offers is forever. And that hope is available to you and to me. That is good news. And that's how, whatever we have to walk through, that's how we're able to walk through it. I've told you this before, and I'll close with this. So you've heard me say this, that when good things happen to you, let's just be honest, most people don't care. They don't care. I mean, when good things happen, nobody takes notice. All right? Nobody's watching you. I mean, if you feel like you're on top of the world and you're doing great, nobody cares what you have to say or what you think. Because you know what most people think? Well, if I was where you were, that's how I'd be. But when you're on the ground and you're pleading with God, going through one of the most difficult things a human being can go through, all eyes are on you, believer and unbeliever. And I have found that what God typically uses to blow the world away is how you and I suffer, is how you and I walk through those things. Because it's easy to be on top of the world and say, Jesus is my hope. Because if you're on top of the world, people say it wouldn't matter what your hope is. But when you're going through the valley, and you can still say that Jesus is my hope, that's when ears that are normally closed become open. You have maybe what I told you I don't have tonight. You have credibility. Because as you walk through a dark season of life, people want to know what you're clinging to. People want to know what got you through that. How did you make it? How did you go on? That's when unbelievers want to know. They don't care what you're hanging on the mountaintop. They want to know what you're hanging on to in the valley. And so I want to encourage you. I always hate preaching this way and opening up with a story like I opened up, because I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I don't know what tomorrow holds for my family. I pray that's not what tomorrow holds. But I know this, because I'm looking around and a lot of you look young, and then a lot of you look like you're over 30. What I'm trying to say is, looking around, some of you have walked through that valley more than once. And looking around, maybe some of us would say, we've never really had to walk through that dark of a valley. Let me just tell everybody tonight this. It's coming. It's coming. Welcome to life on the planet, whether you follow Jesus or not. Following Jesus doesn't mean there'll be valleys, that there won't be valleys. Following Jesus means you'll get through the valley. You'll get through it. And you'll get through it to a place that you never dreamed you'd be. And we get through it, and guess what? The hope we're clinging to is way beyond the other side of the valley. I mean, if that's what you're hoping for, you've sold God way short. Because what He has for us is so much more incredible than that. So I believe when I talked about this several years ago, the message was entitled, Suffer Well. Because the valley's coming if you're not already in it, or if you've not already been through it. And if you've already been through it, there's another one coming. But it's going to be how we go through that valley and what we cling to. Because no matter how dark that valley, we know we can light the candle of hope. Because God doesn't change because the circumstances do. And I please everybody hear what I've said tonight. That doesn't mean you're looking forward to the valley. That doesn't mean after the valley you say, wow, I'd go through it again. I've heard people say that. I'd go through that again. I'm thinking that's because you're an idiot. Because once I've been through it, I'd just rather never venture back there again. And I think that's, and I don't think that's unspiritual, although people will try to make you feel that way. I don't think that's unspiritual. I'm just saying, God, I like the fun times with you better than I like the difficult times with you. And you know what? I don't think that's unspiritual. There is hope because there's Jesus. I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. Some of you are just in the middle of that valley right now. And you are hanging on with all that you have. And you're praying every prayer, God, make this better. God, make this all go away. And it may or it may not, but you keep holding on. Some of you tonight feel like you don't have any hope at all. That's a lie. You have hope. You have hope. Let me tell you, you are going to get through this valley. You're going to get through it. And on the other side of it, you're going to know things you didn't know before. You're going to have a depth of trust that you didn't have before. You're going to get through it. And maybe for a lot of us,
The valleys haven't been that deep and they haven't been that dark. They're going to get deeper and they're going to get darker. And you'll have the same hope as always. So I think we come to the altar. Some of us come saying, God, thank you. Because that was the darkest, deepest place I've ever been. And you got me through it. And some of you say, God, I'm in the deepest, darkest place I've been. Get me through it. And some of us are going to come and say, whoa, God. I think he's serious. There's a valley that's coming. Give me strength now. And then I have to tell you, if you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus, the valley's not survivable. Oh, I don't mean that you won't live through it. But typically you don't live after it. And I don't mean death. But life, as you've known, it's gone and it's over. Only Jesus can bring us through it and still have abundant life. And only if you're a follower of Jesus can you say, I'll see the baby again. You can't say that if you're not a follower of Jesus. So if you've never placed your trust in him, I want to invite you to come to the altar. You find me or Pastor David. We'd love to pray with you. You can just say, I'm not sure if I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not sure about that. And we'd love to talk to you and pray with you more. But you know what? It's a Wednesday night of hope. And he is our hope. So let's stand together. And this altar is open right now. I want to invite you to come.